This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Abhorrent and repugnant. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Rasa Kay, who's in for Jennifer Koshenka. On this Wednesday, May 30th, welcome aboard. Here's what we have for you this hour.
ABC Television has canceled its popular new comedy, Roseanne, after what was perceived as a racist tweet by the lead actress.
Missouri Governor Eric Greitens is stepping down under pressure from investigations into alleged sexual misconduct and a secretive nonprofit.
In what's seen as a surprise move, the U.S. has announced it's moving forward with tariffs on Chinese imports.
And what Starbucks hopes to achieve with its nationwide anti-bias training.
I think that they needed to restore their reputation after this really ugly incident happened last month when two African-American men were basically arrested for trespassing just for sitting and talking and not ordering any food.
Business correspondent Charisse Jones at USA Today on the company-wide training by Starbucks, which closed its doors for a few hours yesterday to conduct its sessions. That report in about 10 minutes. ABC has canceled the sitcom Roseanne after lead actress Roseanne Barr sent what's perceived to be a racist tweet. Ms. Barr wrote, quote, "Muslim Brotherhood and Planet of the Apes had a baby equals VJ," a reference to Valerie Jarrett, who served in the Obama administration. Ms. Jarrett is black and was born in Iran. ABC recently touted Roseanne as its first number one new comedy in several years.
I'll cut back.
No, you won't. You're taking these for more than pain. Book the surgery.
Where are we going to get $3,000 for the deductible?
Look, if it's between you ODing and me coming up with the money, I'll figure out something.
The show spoke to a middle American audience that television executives are often accused of ignoring in their programming. Ms. Barr, by the way, apologized for the tweet about Ms. Jarrett, calling it a joke in bad taste. Streaming service Hulu removed Roseanne from its service. And Ms. Barr was also dropped by ICM Partners, her talent agency. Missouri Governor Eric Greitens is resigning in the face of allegations of sexual misconduct and campaign finance violations. Mr. Greitens, a Democrat turned Republican, announced yesterday that Friday will be his last day. He denied breaking any laws, but said the pressure of multiple investigations had taken a toll.
The last few months have been incredibly difficult for me, for my family.
Lieutenant Governor Mike Parson, also a Republican, will take over. Earlier yesterday, a Missouri judge ruled that Mr. Greitens, a former Navy SEAL, must comply with subpoenas from a state House committee seeking information about his campaign fund and secretive donations given to a pro-Greitens nonprofit. Separately, Mr. Greitens was indicted in February in connection with restraining his hairdresser, taking a nude photo of her without her permission, and threatening to release it if she told anyone about their affair. No photo was ever found, and the case was later dropped. The Trump administration says the U.S. is moving forward with its threat to apply tariffs on Chinese imports. Other actions are planned as well. More from this morning's Mike Gavin.
The move yesterday was seen as somewhat of a surprise since the White House had for days been talking about the outlines of a deal in which any trade war with China would be put on hold as negotiators worked on having China reduce its trade surplus by buying more U.S. goods. The White House said it would announce by June 15th a final list of $50 billion in imports that would be subject to tariffs of 25%. Other restrictions aimed at preventing Chinese acquisition of U.S. technology would also be announced by the end of June. Gordon.
Thanks, Mike. With Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross heading to Beijing later this week, the Wall Street Journal says the administration's decision to move ahead with tariffs and other measures could give the U.S. added leverage as the trade talks with China resume. It's 10 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Glad you could be with us. Welcome into Wednesday. Starbucks is taking a shot at racial reconciliation, closing 8,000 stores across the country for an afternoon of anti-bias training. More than 150,000 employees at Starbucks stores and at its headquarters receive training from a toolkit that's been developed. CEO Kevin Johnson spoke with ABC News.
Everyone's life experience creates a set of bias in them. And once you understand that that's a normal part of the human experience and you're able to identify how your life experience perhaps shaped your bias, then you can start to disrupt it.
Starbucks closed its doors for a couple hours yesterday afternoon to conduct the training. It said future training will address all aspects of bias and experience. More from Charisse Jones, national business correspondent at USA Today. Charisse, what do they hope to achieve?
I think that they needed to restore their reputation after this really ugly incident happened last month when two African-American men were basically arrested for trespassing just for sitting and talking and not ordering any food. So they're basically closing to talk to them about the history of bias and to look at their own personal attitudes and to make the environment more welcoming for customers. So it's getting a lot of attention, and they're hoping that they can get the ball rolling in that direction in terms of people really looking at the issue and trying to challenge it.
So is 3 to 4 hours enough to change, I don't know, what may be some folks' bias?
It's certainly not enough. They've said they're going to continue these types of trainings, but I think that the, you know, what they can accomplish is that it puts people on notice, right? You might have these feelings, but you better think twice, because if you act on them, there are going to be repercussions, and that can lead to changes in behavior, and sometimes that's the most you can ask for. I mean, the bias, you know, that people may feel inside may never be eradicated, but if you know you can't act on it, that can be a big change that affects a lot of people, you know, both in Starbucks and outside of Starbucks when they're going about their daily life.
You get the sense that this is just a PR campaign, or there's legitimacy behind this?
I think that, you know, it seems legitimate. A lot of civil rights advocates are praising it. I mean, it's just the first step, but a lot of companies might have just said, I'm sorry. They would have done a financial settlement with the two young men who were affected and kept going. I mean, the fact that they are closing their businesses, it's a drop in the revenue bucket for them, right? They make a lot of money, and they're only going to lose about $12 million. But the point is that they're taking it beyond what a lot of other companies might have done. So it looks like there is a sincere effort to try and get at this. And Starbucks has a history of trying to challenge race and racism, of trying to have that conversation. So it's really in keeping with their cultural message.
We're speaking with Charisse Jones, national business correspondent at USA Today. We're talking about the anti-bias training at Starbucks. You suspect that other companies will follow this lead?
Well, it's interesting. Target has about 1,500 stores that have a Starbucks inside, and they do have their own anti-bias training that they started implementing last year, and it says that they are going to have the employees at these Starbucks locations undergo that at some point as well. So I think that it's kind of top of mind. It's a good point to make, you know, the fact that a company cares enough about their customers and employees to try something like this. So you might see other companies following their lead. It may not be widespread, but we'll definitely probably see some who will at least consider it.
We get the sense that this type of training in the past has worked.
Well, I mean, again, it's very hard to root out bias. I mean, that's something that, you know, having a workshop is not going to address. Sometimes people are resentful when they're told that they kind of need to look at their behavior and their attitudes. And so it can be kind of hit and miss. But again, what you can change is behavior. You know, if people want to keep their job, if they don't want to be penalized or suspended, if you let them know, I don't care how you're feeling, you can't act on those types of feelings and keep a job here, it is going to change the way some people act. And that might be the most you can ask for, and that's a positive step.
Yeah. Starbucks has done this before, right? Like a few years back, something like this?
Yeah. 3 years ago, they were doing forums around the country to talk about race and racism, and it was in the wake of what happened in Ferguson when an unarmed black man was killed by police. And they've also tried to do things, sometimes to controversy, you know, not always well-received, where they, you know, want you to kind of write on the cup, you know, a message of racial solidarity. Didn't go so well. But they definitely have gone in this direction before, so it's kind of keeping with their brand, and this is a way to kind of burnish the brand and restore it after this real taint came on it last month.
Thanks, Charisse. Charisse Jones, national business correspondent at USA Today. It's 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Rasa Kay is here with more of America's First News.
Well, Gordon, this happened in Missouri.
It has been a great honor and a privilege to serve as your governor.
Facing accusations of sexual misconduct and misusing a charity donor list, Missouri Republican Governor Eric Greitens resigned late yesterday. He'd been indicted on a felony computer tampering charge related to a donor list. He leaves office Friday. Less than 12 hours after her stupendously ill-considered tweet, Roseanne Barr went from having a hit show tied at the top of the broadcast ratings to that show's cancellation by ABC. Barr's agent, ICM Partners, has also dropped her as a client. The vice chairman of North Korea is expected to touch down on American soil today, the most senior official to visit the country since 2000. He meets with Secretary of State Mike Pompeo to lay the groundwork for an on-again, off-again talk between Kim Jong-un and President Trump, which State Department spokeswoman Heather Nauert says is definitely on.
We are looking forward to having these meetings, and I think we've seen a tremendous amount of progress over the past few days alone.
Egyptian mediators reportedly intervened with Gaza's Hamas rulers to set up a ceasefire with Israel to end the largest flare-up of violence between those sides since a 2014 war. Israeli Cabinet Minister Naftali Bennett told Israel's Army Radio, though no agreement has yet been reached. The soggy remnants of Alberta are leaving scattered flooding and downed trees in its wake as it slogs up toward the nation's interior. More than 25,000 power outages were reported in Alabama, many caused by trees falling across utility lines after waterlogged soil around their roots just let go. Philadelphia's first medical marijuana dispensary opens today. Pennsylvania's got one of the most comprehensive medical cannabis programs in the country, but centers have tangled with zoning issues in major cities. Qualified registered patients in Philly will be able to use the therapy for ailments from cancer to chronic pain. An international team of researchers lined up experienced human dermatologists against an artificial intelligence machine to see which was more effective at detecting malignant melanomas. At first look, the derms correctly detected an average of 87% of melanomas. The AI got 95% right.
Wow.
Robot mole patrol, my friend. It is coming.
Does that bring down the cost of a doctor when it can't accurately
Okay, this was just a study.
I'm thinking about it too much.
Way cart ahead of horse here.
23 minutes after the hour. Welcome into Wednesday. What happened to the idea of antiques and other collectibles holding value? Personal finance expert Jonathan Clements, editor and founder of HumbleDollar.com, says in the era of things like IKEA furniture and leased cars, the whole concept is fading. Jonathan, how do you see it?
Well, what spurred this actually was going up to my in-laws. My in-laws are looking at downsizing, and so my wife and I went up there, and we were going around their house telling them what we would like to ultimately inherit, which is a weird thing to do. Anybody who's done that knows weird thing to do. But also what struck both my wife and me as we did this was that even as we saw so many things in their house that we loved, we weren't at all sure that our kids were going to like them when the time came for us to pass them along. You know, the attitude of my parents' generation and the attitude of my kids towards beautiful objects, antiques, paintings, fine china, silver cutlery is totally different. My parents and their generation love this stuff. My kids have no use for it.
Yeah. Well, so what happened along the way, I guess?
I think that a couple of things have happened. One is that what we think of as stores of value has changed. You know, this notion that, you know, fine rugs had value, that antiques had value, that your household possessions were, you know, part of your wealth, that's really gone away. People become much more comfortable owning stocks, bonds, just numbers on an account statement, and it's gone beyond even that. I mean, nobody even gets stock certificates anymore, right? We have online accounts, we see numbers on the computer screen, and we have faith that there is value there. So as we become more comfortable owning securities, so owning stocks and bonds, we put less value in physical objects, in antiques, fine rugs, bone china, and so on.
Is this a good thing?
I think it probably is a good thing. I mean, there's no reason why household objects should provide a good rate of return over time. And the reason is this. Any particular object, there are two sources of return. There's the actual monetary return, and then there's what we can think of as psychic income. So if we have a beautiful table in our house, we are getting psychic income from it. We love having that table in our house. So we're getting a lot of psychic income from it. We shouldn't expect to get a lot of monetary income from it. Moreover, when you think about household possessions, I mean, they have a couple of clear drawbacks. I mean, one is they're extraordinarily difficult to value, right? We don't really know what that rug on the floor is worth. We don't really know what that painting on the wall is worth until we actually go to sell them. And when we go to sell them, the transaction costs are typically pretty high. We might lose a quarter of the price to the middleman who's going to help us to make the sale. And the second thing is, and it's related, is that these things are extraordinarily difficult to sell. By contrast, if you have a stock, you know on any given day exactly what it's worth, and you know that you could actually sell it within about 60 seconds.
All right, thanks, Jonathan. Jonathan Clements from HumbleDollar.com. 30 minutes after the hour.
At Dell, we know running a small business takes hard work. As a thank you, for all of Small Business Month, we're offering up to 40% off select PCs with 8th Gen Intel Core processors and special financing with Dell Business Credit. Call 877-BUY-DELL to speak with a small business technology advisor today. That's 877-BUY-DELL. Special financing available to qualified business customers when using Dell Business Credit. Go to dell.com/dbcpromos for details.
When a state ranks among the top 10 in the country for major new and expanded facilities, that's pure growth. When it's tops for four straight years, that's pure Michigan. Long known as a world leader in the automotive industry, Michigan is also a leader in advanced manufacturing, cybersecurity, agribusiness, and aerospace. In fact, CNBC rates Michigan as the most improved state for business. To learn more, visit MichiganBusiness.org.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Wednesday, May 30th. Gordon Deal with Rasa Kay, who's in for Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. The U.S. moves forward with plans for tariffs on Chinese imports. ABC cancels Roseanne after a perceived racial tweet from the lead actress. Eric Greitens resigning under a cloud of controversy as Missouri's governor. Atari is taking pre-orders for a modern release of its old gaming system. Yes, Asteroids will be among the games preloaded. Getting out of work early on summer Fridays, and the kindness of a South Carolina cop going viral. That story in about 20 minutes. We're coming to you today from the Dell Studios. During Small Business Month, Dell is offering up to 40% off select PCs with 8th Gen Intel Core processors. Call 877-BUY-DELL to speak with a small business technology advisor today. As the growing city of Atlanta looks to lure Amazon.com and other corporate giants to the region, its new mayor has found her efforts stymied by scandals from the previous administration and the after effects of a crippling cyber attack on city operations. More from Wall Street Journal Cameron McWhirter, who's based in Atlanta. Cameron, what's going on?
Well, it's really a problem of inherited dilemmas. So the current mayor, Keisha Lance Bottoms, just took office in January. There are now unfolding numerous probes into the previous administration of Kasim Reed. And these are federal probes, and now the city's looking into various things. As he left office, he handed out a bunch of bonuses to a lot of officials in his administration, and that is being looked at very carefully. There's subpoenas going to look into the Atlanta airport, which is the world's busiest and obviously very profitable for the city. So there's a lot of tension over that. Then earlier this year, somebody hit a wrong button in the city of Atlanta computer system and launched a ransomware attack, in which these ransomware people, whomever they are, wanted $50,000 from the city to release the city from it. The city did not pay that ransom, but it completely messed up the computer systems. The data was lost.
Yeah.
Government was effectively shut down for a while.
What's the status of that now, by the way? They're still trying to repair that?
Yes, there's still some leftover problems. Some data may never be recovered. For the most part, things are back to normal, but it was a big mess. And the city council has, at the request of the city government, has authorized up to $5 million in expenditures for contracts for people to try to fix this problem and make sure it doesn't happen again, or at least that it's mitigated if it happens again.
Yeah.
So the current mayor has just inherited a bunch of stuff she has to deal with, and these probes aren't going away anytime soon. All the while, she and other officials in the state of Georgia are trying to woo Amazon for its second headquarters, which would be a tremendous boon to the city, obviously.
Yeah, and not just any old jobs, right? 50,000 mostly high-paying jobs. What does she do? Is she on just some sort of a publicity and awareness and don't look at this so much campaign?
Well, I mean, the mayor has been really trying to stay focused on her agenda, which includes looking at affordable housing, wooing more jobs like the Amazon job, saying Atlanta's a great place to come here. It is a growing city. We have a lot of people moving here, and there's a lot of businesses relocating here. So she's hoping that this won't distract, but unfortunately, certainly local media is all over this city hall scandals, again, not of her making, but that she's got to deal with. And it's becoming pretty distracting.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Cameron McWhorter. He's written a piece entitled Probes and Cyber Attack Distract Atlanta as it tries to woo Amazon. Amazon, I presume, has not said anything specifically with regards to Atlanta?
No. Yeah. No. They did pick it as one of the 20 cities that they're looking at now. There are 20 sites they're looking at now, and whether Atlanta is high on the list, low on the list, not on the list is something you'd have to call Seattle and figure out what they're doing over there, because we don't know. But Atlanta is trying to put its best face forward as it tries to woo this company, and this is not the kind of news that they want being generated about federal probes and possible and bribery scandals and bonuses, heavy bonuses being paid out to officials as a guy walks out the door.
Yeah.
And then on top of it, a cyber attack. It's just been a series of black eyes.
Mm. I know some cities have seen residents kind of push back a little bit after the cities thought that this was a good idea to lure Amazon. Any feel for how folks in Atlanta feel about this, broadly speaking? Because sometimes, obviously, there can be a housing impact, things like that, more traffic.
Those accounts have been erupting in other cities for sure. That is not the case here in Atlanta. Atlanta is sort of a city that built itself on, come on in.
Thanks, Cam. It's Wall Street Journal reporter Cameron McWhorter from Atlanta. Reminder, by the way, that we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter with the username @ThisMorningShow. If you like some cynicism and sarcasm, you can follow me directly on Twitter with the username @GordonDeal. Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Wednesday. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, if you're like me, you're constantly amazed at the amount of things that used to be classified as common sense and are now things that we need explained to us or be warned about for our own safety. The latest viral example comes from Hawaii, where, as you know, a volcano has been wreaking havoc on the Big Island for the past few weeks. One man, apparently with a sweet tooth, was curious about whether it might be safe to roast marshmallows over a volcanic vent, assuming that you might have a stick that's long enough. He tweeted this question to the United States Geological Survey's official volcano-related Twitter account and got a pretty quick response from the USGS, who no doubt jumped into action to try to prevent a marshmallow-related catastrophe. We're going to have to say no, that's not safe. Please don't try, was the response on Twitter by the USGS, adding that at best they would taste bad with the vent emitting all kinds of smelly gases. Plus, if you add sulfuric acid to sugar, you'd get a pretty nasty reaction.
Is that right?
Yes. Now, that's not sure what sort of length of stick you would need to try to make s'mores at a volcano in Hawaii.
I'd go quarter mile.
Yeah, at least.
I'm not sure you'd have the leverage to hold a stick, for that distance.
Yeah. I feel like within a quarter mile, you're still pretty warm at that point. Like,
you think so?
Yeah. Like, I think I'd still be sweating a lot for various reasons for being that close to the volcano.
I saw a funny map, by the way, of the volcano activity on Hawaii,
right,
which indicates what the media would have you believe.
I think I
versus
saw the same
what's
one
actually happening.
Yes,
is a map of the Big Island.
Yep.
It's like nearly covered in red lava.
And then there's the actual, which is like, it's just a tiny little speck.
It's only happening in one little section of the island.
1% of the island that's affected or something.
Elsewhere, people are golfing safely.
That's right.
Not worried about the volcano. And a high-end retailer, Gordon, is turning heads, probably just as they intended, for their latest creation called the T-shirt shirt. It's a T-shirt with a button-down shirt stuck to its front. It's part of the new fall collection from Balenciaga and retails for only $1,245. And if your first thought is that seems a little pricey for a shirt stapled to another shirt, the company wants to remind you that you do get what they are calling two wearing options with the T-shirt shirt. Not surprisingly, the unusual garment went viral on Twitter, with people quick to mock up their own much cheaper versions and even branching out to other types of clothing, like, for instance, a pair of dress pants belted to a pair of jeans. The brand previously made headlines last year when it released a $2,145 blue tote bag that observers quickly noticed bears more than a slight resemblance to the 99-cent tote bags sold at IKEA.
Wow.
So this is obviously a marketing situation.
Yes.
I mean, it's got to be.
A marketing situation.
Situation.
Good.
That's the best way I can describe it. And it seems to work, because every year they get a little bit of attention from people like us.
Right.
So there you go.
This,
good for them.
The $1,200 price. I wouldn't even go in on $100 with 12 of my friends.
Right.
Like, that's, I think, how useless this item is.
Yes, they didn't even look like good shirts. They don't look like high-quality shirts. This is a high-end retailer. You think there would be more higher-quality shirts, at the very least.
Fashion correspondent Mike Gavin, 13 minutes in front of the hour. Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Wednesday. Summer Fridays, or the Fridays between Memorial Day and Labor Day, when employees can often work half days, have become a seasonal perk across many industries, right? But many people find that getting enough work out of the way in time to escape early is easier said than done. Moneyish.com put together some tips on how to do it. One, complete your toughest tasks first, especially those that may require input from others. Number two, don't schedule any meetings on Friday. Number three, do some work from home. Even 30 to 60 minutes at night can help. Number four, how about this? Listen to music that's proven to make you focus so you can tune out distractions. Number five, check your email less often by designating certain times to check it instead of doing it intermittently between tasks. Number six, eat lunch at your desk on Friday. That could be a half hour back in your pocket. And number seven, show up to work early on Friday. It's 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Rasa Kay is back with more of America's First News.
Well, Gordon, Missouri Governor Eric Greitens got ahead of possible impeachment over an extramarital affair and allegations of misuse of a charity donor list by resigning yesterday while admitting no wrongdoing.
For those who would be moved to vengeance, let us allow history and God to bring justice.
The Rhodes Scholar, former Navy SEAL, and once rising star in the Republican Party says his resignation takes effect Friday. ABC TV wasted no time in canceling their hit reboot of Roseanne, one of the network's most successful sitcoms, after its star posted a racist remark on her Twitter account about former White House senior advisor Valerie Jarrett. Barr initially played down the comment as a joke, but later apologized to no avail. Roseanne's character famously played a Trump supporter, but there's been no comment on the controversy from the White House. President Trump instead was on the road in Nashville last night to boost the Senate campaign of GOP Congresswoman Marsha Blackburn.
We will achieve victory for our magnificent land, the land that we love, because we are Americans and our hearts bleed red, white, and blue.
Well, on Wall Street, just red, a deep dive for the Dow, dumping almost 400 points. Blame Quiddly, the notion that Italy could leave the European Union if new elections there put populists in power this summer. It's got investors questioning the stability of the EU. The body of Army National Guardsman Edison Hermond has been found in the Patapsco River. He was lost trying to help a woman through raging floodwaters in Ellicott City, Maryland, Sunday. A new study estimates 4,600 people, rather than the official estimate of just 64, died from Hurricane Maria's Puerto Rico landfall. That's more than were lost in the 9/11 attacks. Harvard researchers in the New England Journal of Medicine find the biggest factors leading to that higher death toll were disrupted medical services, including access to medication and medical facilities. and a Tesla sedan in autopilot mode crashed into a parked police cruiser in Southern California. The Laguna Beach police SUV ended up with its two passenger side wheels on a sidewalk. No one was in it, but the not driving driver of the Tesla suffered minor injuries. Tesla's semi-autonomous autopilot mode is not designed to avoid a collision, and drivers are warned not to rely on it entirely.
It's probably not good to bang into a cop car.
Whether you're driving or not driving. Yeah.
Whether you're the driver or not driver.
Or the not driving driver.
6 minutes now in front of the hour. Thanks for being with us. A South Carolina police officer is getting some social media love when CJ Mullinax with Horry County Police responded to a call from a fast food restaurant about a homeless man asking for scraps. He didn't remove the man. Instead, he offered to buy the stranger a meal. An employee of the Hardee's restaurant, Victoria Summer, posted on her Facebook page that the officer, quote, handled the situation amazingly. She included a 20-second clip of the cop standing next to the man at the register. Employees had been feeding the man for days, but Ms. Summer believes a disgruntled customer called 911 on Saturday to complain. A Myrtle Beach resident said he recognized the homeless man on the video, identifying him as a veteran named Donald, who served in the Army in the late 70s and early 80s, then got out, worked in construction, and hit a wall. This isn't the first time Officer Mullinax has been praised, by the way. 2015, he was seen on a viral video throwing a football around with a group of neighborhood kids. For Rasa Kay, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.